Our reading is Psalm 25. Psalm 25, a very familiar psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep his demand, the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. May God bless that reading of his word. Amen. God does guide us. Many years ago, I read a book with that title, by Dr. Sangster, one of Methodist's great preachers and teachers. I needed that assurance then, and I continue to need it now. I think that as a church, we need that assurance as we seek to know the way forward for us as God's people here. Just over a week ago, we gathered to listen to God speaking, asking for his guidance and direction. It was a very special day of blessing. And as we came together in the evening, we realized that there was a pattern in the way God had been speaking to us individually that was such a confirmation of the guiding hand of God upon us as a fellowship here. Why should we doubt that God guides us? The Bible tells of a guiding God who took Abraham out of the land of Haran and to follow God's promise. He guided Moses and the children of Israel through the desert to the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants. All through the Bible, we can find texts that confirm the truth of his guiding. Psalm 25 that we read, it says how God guides us. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Saviour. God wants to guide us. He longs to guide us. There's Psalm 32 and verse 8 where it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then it's some lovely words. That's the promise of God himself. And then we could go to the New Testament. We find Jesus saying to his disciples, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. And guidance isn't just a super, for just for super Christians. It's a blessing that's available to all of us who belong to Christ. It's part of our inheritance as Christians. But is it really our experience, or is it just wishful thinking? For many years, I've walked through Bourne Park. Often with a pushchair with children or grandchildren in it, a buggy, pushing them up from the playground down the bottom, up the hill. And I used to stop and look back. And if there'd been rain or it was damp, you could see the path of the buggy's wheels all the way up. And you know, I think for some of us, we think that guidance is like that. We can look back and see the way God has guided us, even when we're not aware of it at the time. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known, says God, through the prophet Isaiah. And we know that to be true in our experience, even when we haven't been aware of it. God has been able to use our mistakes, our difficulties, our disappointments, and turn them to his purpose for good. So that looking back, we can rejoice. Yes, he was there. He was guiding us all the time. But you know, I believe that guidance, the guidance that is our inheritance, is much more satisfying than that. It can come to us in our hour of perplexity. Lord, what do you want me to do? Please tell me, show me what you want me to do. And it comes with a sense of assurance. It comes in the detail of our lives, when we want to know moment by moment, day by day, not just in crisis times, life-changing decisions we have to make. But the experience in all its fullness, I believe, to find that, we must take a giant step of faith and submit to greater discipline than maybe we've been willing to undertake. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, we find these words: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And maybe that's the first secret. When we come to God seeking his guidance, it's so easy, isn't it, to have our minds filled with the situation that we want him to sort out, filled with the circumstances in which we're finding ourselves, so filled with our agenda, what we want him to do. In fact, we come to him full of self. The best kind of beginning when we're wanting to know the will of God is to concentrate on him. The first condition of guidance is a recognition of God himself. Before we can put ourselves in God's hands to guide us, as he will, we need to say that, "Lord, guide me as you will." We need to acknowledge that he is God, utterly worthy of our complete trust. We sometimes say of people, don't we, "I trust them with my life." Do we really say that about God? Is our experience of God such that we can truly say, "Yes, I trust him with my life"? And you know, in order to get to that point, we have to take baby steps of faith in a God who is not just Savior, but Counselor, Strength, Deliverer, Refuge, Encourager, a God who is Al Shaddai, the God who is always enough. We've got to learn to trust him. We've got to begin with, "I can trust him." Complete abandonment to the God who will give or withhold as he chooses. "You will seek me and find me if you seek me with all your heart." No divided loyalties, no seeking God and something else. Jesus lived out of one center, his Father's will, and he calls us to do the same. Single-minded discipleship. We've just sung it, haven't we? Self on the cross, Christ on the throne of our lives. The sooner we choose to deny ourselves and take up the daily cross and follow one Lord and one Master, the sooner we do that, the sooner will our feet be set on the path of righteousness, the sooner will we experience the incredible guidance that is our inheritance. It's costly. It will be costly for all of us. Do you remember that rich young ruler? He wanted to, but the cost was too great. And he went away sorrowfully. And the second thing that we have to remember, the second secret to remember God's is to remember God's objective in this question of guidance. So often we think of guidance in terms of knowing with assurance the path of God's will, whether in the major decisions of church life or in our personal life. But we must never forget that when we put ourselves in God's hands at that moment of conversion, he has one objective for us all. He wants us to make us holy, to make us like Jesus. And if that thought scares you, don't let it. I don't know who Stanley Jones was, but I found these words when I was thinking about this week. When you're in the hands of God, you are where you belong. This is home. This surrender of the self is once and for all, and yet continuous. Surrender as much as I know of myself today to as much of Christ as I know today. And that's where God, I believe, is leading us all. In Exodus and chapter 15 and verse 13, we find these lovely words. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. We're in this together, folks. We're not on our own. We're in it together. It's not just the Lord is my shepherd, but he will lead his people. What he does to one may sometimes puzzle us, but he's got the whole flock in mind while never forgetting the individual. He'll never guide us in a way that would hurt another. We're led together under one shepherd in order that all may become like Jesus. And we mustn't forget that the way is always going to be the way of the cross, for that was the way Jesus went, and we're his followers. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When the shadow falls upon the path and our hearts cry, why this way, Lord? We must remember that it may be the shadow of the cross. We must remember that the hand that guides us is the nail-pierced hand. Jesus took the cross and used it for God's great purpose for mankind. And guided by his hand, we may find that we have to walk through that valley of the cross. But he's with us. He's with us. Only keep trusting. Keep trusting in the one who can guide us even there. Holding these things in mind, these two principles of guidance, let's turn to the practicalities. How does God guide us? There are many ways, but I'd like to just share with you two that have become very relevant for me in my discipleship. And the first is prayer. That came up very clearly as we reflected on what God was saying to us as a church that Thursday. Discipline in prayer is absolutely essential if we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of God's will. God will guide us, but only if we give him time daily, and in that time, make space for listening to God. The prayer of loving attention, as it's sometimes called. It's so hard to be still before God, focusing just on him, empty of self-concerns and self-importance. My sheep hear my voice, said Jesus, and I know them and they follow me. But we'll only learn to distinguish his voice from all the clamour of other voices that invade our lives when we take time daily to practice listening to it. Psalm 143 in verse 8 to 10 says this: cause me to hear your voice in the morning. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Teach me to do your will. Silence, listening, and then obedience. Listen to God with a pen in your hand, a letter to write, a phone call to make, a person to visit, and obey the prompting of what I call God's nudges. Dr. Sangster tells a lovely story. He always did that. In his prayer time, he'd sit with a pen in his hand, and one day he'd prayed and he felt that God was saying, go and visit this lady. And it was completely not what he wanted to do. It was right off where he planned to go that day. But God kept nudging, and he went, not knowing why he was going, really. He knocked at the door, and the lady inside opened it, and she said, I knew you'd come. Dr. Sexton said, I didn't know why I'd come. No idea why I'd come. She said, a year ago today, you buried my husband, and I knew that God would send someone, and I knew it would be you. And he said, we sat down and had a cup of tea, and she wasn't so amazed at my forgetfulness as she was at God's incredible care for her as a person. I knew God would send someone. And you know, I can't emphasize the importance of obedience enough. We have to follow through when we hear God speak. John said about that, didn't he? I can still see him with his cricket bat. With me, it would be the tennis racket, but it doesn't really matter. We have to follow through. When we hear God speak, we have to follow through. And God won't show us the next step in his plan if we're not obeying the step that he's shown us. If we've asked to be guided and God seems to be silent, maybe we should go back and see where we've failed to obey and have thereby shut the door of communication with a God who's never going to force or coerce obedience, but wants our loving surrender to his will. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. That's Hosea chapter 6 and verse 31. And he who does the will shall know. That's 1 John 7, verse 7. It's the spiritual green cross code, isn't it? Stop, look, listen, and then go. And this applies in an individual level when we're together seeking God to guide us, asking God to guide us, as a fellowship of his people. Corporate guidance, you know, is clearly rooted, firmly rooted in Scripture. Patiently over 3 years, Jesus taught his disciples that together they could most clearly hear the voice of the Father and know his will. We love that verse where two or three are gathered together in your name. We use it, don't we, when there's only about five or six of us at the prayer meeting. We're always glad to know that even though there's not many, God's here. And it's true. But it's when we're together, even if it's only two or three, that God will guide and direct his people In Acts 13 and verse 2, we see the disciples, a close-knit community by then, meeting together, praying together, to be asked for corporate guidance. And they were guided to set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which God had called them. How many times in the Acts of the Apostles do we read, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us? Together, under the guidance of that Spirit, as we pray in the power of the Spirit, we can hear God directing us, showing us the way that we can go, and giving us the assurance that only His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, can give. And then secondly, and equally important, God guides us through His Word. The Bible is our guidebook, for in it are all the directions we need to live the Spirit-guided, Spirit-filled life. The Bible, you see, provides the framework for our all guidance. How many problems concerning guidance would be solved if we would only check our actions against the principles laid down in His God's word? God's guidance will never go against the truths revealed in Scripture. That's why it's so important that we're teaching our children to learn God's word. What did the psalmist say? I have stored your word in my heart that I may not sin. We begin to think biblically as we read God's word. And the same principle applies, really, that when we hear Him speaking through His word, when we've allowed it to become part of our thinking, of our mindset, then we need to listen with that, to hear Him speaking with that pen in our hand. What's He asking us to do? What's He saying to me through His inspired word, the Bible? Do you remember that's how it was for Jesus, wasn't it? Tempted by the devil in the wilderness at the beginning of His ministry. At each point of temptation, Jesus was able to resist with a word of Scripture, God's word, learnt and meditated on through His life. And it could be like that for us too, if we read the Bible each day and ask as we open it that God will speak to us by His Holy Spirit. And He always will. He'll always answer that prayer. He longs to guide us. He longs to make that way straight for us so that we can see where He wants us to go. And always we have to remember that when we ask Him, we can trust Him because He's our loving Father. Do you remember those words? If we've heard God speaks, He requires a response. Do you remember what James said? I know Paul is going through James with us. Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. If you've heard God speaking, do something about it. And then this lovely assurance from James too. And this was something that came up. We need wisdom. We need to know God more clearly. We need to know His wisdom. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what He's heard say, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. And he says, if you want wisdom, ask for it. That's all you have to do. Ask me for it. He's the Father who wants to give us everything we need to live this Christ-centered, Christ-controlled life. And He will do it. I believe that we heard God speaking to us at that day of prayer. But as John reminded us, we have to follow it through, seeking and asking for God's wisdom. we need to deepen our relationship with God through personal and corporate prayer. And so importantly, we need to learn to trust the God who is completely worthy of that trust. And we need to allow his Holy Spirit to control every part of our lives. The only basis on which we can live the guided life is the basis of utter trust. I think God spoke to me more powerfully at that day, and I've said this to David, so he doesn't mind me saying it again, was when he told John to sit on the chair and he could trust the chair. That was powerful. It was powerful for me. I think it was powerful for other people too. That's the sort of trust we have to have in God. I can remember a holiday that we had in Derbyshire, and we were staying at Crestbrook, and I can remember that there was an old gentleman living next door who all his life had been walking the hills of Derbyshire and who knew all the paths. And every day as we went out, he'd be standing at his door and telling us. We told him where we were going, and he'd say, oh, now this is the way. You need to do this. You need to do that. Make sure you do that. Make sure you do the other. And when we got back, he used to say, well, did you enjoy it? Did you find that way? And most days we had to say, no, we got lost. Not surprising. Anyway, and I can always remember what he said. He said, oh, if only I could have gone with you, you wouldn't have got lost. And you know, that reminded me of that promise to Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14. My presence will go with you. That's our security. We're not just given a map. We've got a guide who goes with us every step of the way. And all we have to do is trust him. Shall we pray? Sometimes we sing an old hymn that we love. I am trusting you to guide me. You alone can lead every day and hour, supplying all my need. Lord, in our best moments, we can do that. At least in our minds, we can. There are moments when you amaze us with your love, when we realize our only happiness is to be in the center of your will and purpose. And those moments come to us as individuals, and in our corporate life as part of your church. But Lord, we confess how quick we listen to other voices. Voices that place us again in the center of our lives. And those voices prevail. We follow our own will, our own desires, our own agendas. And our lives fragment and lack the purpose and direction that only you can give. Please forgive us. Teach us again the discipline of your guidance, prayer, the study of your word, and obedience to the voice that through your Holy Spirit within, we discern to be yours. For we ask it in your name. Amen.